Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Bingeable, where Lucy and I, Emmy, talk about our absolute favorite shows, least favorite shows, biggest disappointments, biggest excitements, favorite actors and actresses. And today we are discussing Dead to Me with Christina Applegate, Linda Cardellini. Is about two women finding their way after accidentally each committing murder, becoming best friends, dealing with grief. It really has a little bit of everything.
It really does. It's a weird show.
It's a very weird show. A comedy, but like a complete soap opera. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, right. That's the thing that I feel like when I just talk to people about it, some people really like it and some people are like, I just could not get through. And I feel like because it does have that soap opera element where just the most ridiculous over-the-top things are happening. But then at the same time, the dialogue is pretty grounded and they're both really, really good in it. So it's kind of this weird mix of like, it's over-the-top, but it's also done kind of really realistically.
Acting's incredible and the emotion's incredible and their chemistry is incredible, but like it's ridiculous material, so it's and it's funny.
The episodes feel really, really long to me,
and they're 30 minutes.
And they're only 30 minutes. I feel like in the first season especially there were these plot points that they wanted to get to, and I don't know if maybe there just should be less episodes in a season or what it is, but the pacing just felt so weird. Like it would end on this cliffhanger and I'd be like, oh, I gotta watch the next one, and then 10 minutes in I'd be like, oh, this is the longest thing ever. But I enjoyed it. I don't know, I'm just like, I'm kind of perplexed by it.
I am obsessed with Christina Applegate.
Oh my God,
could not get enough of her. I love how much she curses. I love how much she drinks in it. I love like how dry she is. I love how she calls everything like all emotions gross. Like she just, where had she been? I mean, I know that she's done a ton of stuff, but I feel like this has just been her like reawakening.
I totally agree. She's such a good dramatic actress, and I feel like I don't know if maybe I just haven't seen her do stuff like that before. She really hasn't done stuff like this before. Obviously, we know her as being hilarious in Anchorman and all of these things, but I was really impressed by her depth. I mean, her range is like crazy, especially throughout both seasons. There's just so much she has going on. And I will say, not since Scandal has a show made me crave wine.
I feel like they are drinking mostly wine, but also underratedly every type of alcohol they drink at some point in the show. They're just always drinking. They are always getting turned up.
I do kind of like the fact that there was the flip in season two. Like, season one is really about Judy wanting Jen's forgiveness, and then obviously it flips in season two. But I do think that is a dynamic that I've never seen before. They're so different, but they complement each other. So that, I will say, is really something unique about the show that I really liked.
Oh, yeah. And I love Linda. Now I have to look how I pronounce her name since I'm so bad at this. Linda Cardellini. I was right the first time. Thank you.
You were.
The only thing I had really seen her in was Bloodline, which was like such an intense show. But this show, she was just like such a heartwarming character. She's also like a batshit crazy character. She does so much. I was like keeping tabs when I was reviewing it for this podcast of like everything kind of nuts she did. And I was like, oh, wow. She's like the sweetest nuts, absolutely nuts person I've ever
100%. Seen. Yeah, she really rides that line very well because I feel like she's naturally very endearing and she seems like very sweet. And yet you can also buy her as like a complete and total sociopath. But one thing I will say that's sort of odd to me that I never really got. I mean, I'll preface it by saying I loved one of my favorite things of season one was the bit between Linda Cardellini, Judy, and James Marsden's character, Steve, when she would say, she'd be like, don't talk to me like that or something, and he'd go, I'm sorry, and she'd go, it's okay. And that just, like, I'm sorry, it's okay, was, I loved that that kept coming up. But their relationship was weird to me. She's so sweet and kind of boho, hippy-dippy, and yeah. he was, like, the complete opposite. And I never really felt like that, like, jived well. I was like, I can't imagine these two people together. And I get that they were, like, bonded by their trauma and her miscarriages and everything, but even, like, how did they even get together
well,
in the first
place? Well, that's the thing. They were together for a long time when...
Right.
And then had the miscarriages. Like, they had a whole relationship before that. Like, they wanted the baby. They were going to keep the baby. Her stuff, she was in his house. I have no idea. And also, like, he was a money launderer. He was using her art to, like, hide all of his money. She knew he was a criminal and very terrible person. So I have no idea how they got together, how she just, like, turned a blind eye to so much. Of course, I get going back to somebody who you love who's wrong for you, but they, I wasn't totally sold on their relationship.
James Marsden, I mean, I could go I on like, it. This gonna, could be.
You have to go on your James Marsden tangent.
This is my James Marsden tangent. I don't understand his career. And that's not a dig on him at all. He is, I think he's really good in this show, both as Steve and as Ben, and it's
yeah.
again so soap opera-y and hilarious and like the just the weirdest choice to like bring him back as his identical brother.
I love it
brother.
So like, much because I feel like this show really embraces just taking on, and I think the creator said this, or just like being a soap opera and just having so much fun as a soap opera, just going full force to these like ridiculous tropes that you see in a soap opera.
Right. They really leaned into that in season two with the cliffhanger at the end of season one of Jen killing Steve and then Judy having to come help and then his identical twin brother. They really leaned into it, which like I kind of like, but I just don't understand. Like, he's a talented actor. He's very charismatic. He can sing. He's obviously beautiful to look at.
I
like,
forgot
on
he
paper.
Can sing.
Yes, Hairspray. He was great. Enchanted with Amy Adams, which took her career to, you know, skyrocketed. And I feel like it didn't really happen for him. I just don't understand. Like, he is... I mean, he was big in the mid-2000s and, you know, he was in 27 Dresses and The Notebook and all of these things. But, like, why is he not an A-list movie star? He's obviously a name and he obviously works and he obviously has a big career. But I feel like he never really got to his potential yet.
Completely. Well, and even when he... Because he was one of the stars of Westworld. Like, he's
right.
still... I feel like you just don't see him. You don't hear about him. But you also, like, he's never nominated for anything. Just this year, he was in The Stand, Mrs. America, Dead to Me. Before that, he was in Westworld. Like, he is constantly working.
Right. He pops up in everything.
Yeah. And it's true. He's just not... And he could be, I feel like, a heartthrob.
It's just so interesting that somebody who on paper has all of the things just like kind of never really hit it.
Do you think he wants to, or do you think he's just like super happy just constantly doing a different project, like riding under the radar?
Yeah, I feel like he's probably really into his where he is. You know, he works all the time. He has this career. He probably has I don't even know. Is he married? Does he have kids? I assume. He's not, you know, a celebrity tabloid guy, so he probably can live like a very normal life. It's kind of ideal. So that's my James Marsden
and
rant.
Hot.
I would love... And he's hot. Yeah, he gets better looking with age somehow, even when he's playing Ben.
Yeah. And I loved their relationship. A little upsetting that he with a scar.
Yeah. I did not see that coming. I did see coming that Charlie was going to put together that the car was Steve's.
Yeah.
So I thought that was going to be like the cliffhanger of the season. So I was very surprised.
I mean, well, I guess they're just like, going, it's going to be like a whodunit, not even whodunit because we know who did it, but like I feel like that's just going to be the same format but flipped again. I think it's their last season this season. I also think they just like loved James Marsden, and after he died they were like, we got to figure out a way to bring this guy back, and now he's going to be like the star of the show next season, I think.
Oh my god. Yeah, you're probably right.
But I also forgot, I just rewatched the finale and I completely forgot that Charlie found the letters that So yes. Christina Applegate thought she was going to get caught, thought she was going to get arrested for murder, wrote her two sons these involved letters, and Judy never gave it to them. Charlie finds the letter, so he now is going to know what his mom did while she's right. in the hospital from this car accident. So that's going to be a tough day. Right. It's going to be... They just wanted a vacation.
And also, Perez, the cop, the fact that she was going to let Christina Applegate off... Yeah. And then the dog was digging up and just Steve's found the body. So I will say I am more, you know, they do the cliffhangers well, even episode by episode. Like, I'll be, like, kind of dragging my way through an episode, and then at the end something happens. And it's usually, like, I think I see the twist coming, and then it's not. They do a cliffhanger quite well.
Quite well. I would say that I was more interested. I got more into it season two. Season one, I just, like, watched it, and then I feel like I completely forgot about it. And then season two mm-hmm. came out in quarantine, and I just was watching everything, and so I gave it a go, and I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I was, like, so much more involved. And then this cliffhanger happened, and now I can't wait for season three.
I know. I agree. I feel like it gets better as it goes, and I feel like by season two, because in season one, they're doing these ridiculous things, and they're, like, she's getting away with it, and it's more about, you know, Judy trying to hide mm-hmm. what happened from Jen, and it's like we see this flashback a million times to them hitting Ted and all of this stuff, and it's a little like, okay, we get it. And then I feel like in season two, they really leaned into, like, well, if we're going to make it ridiculous, let's just really make it ridiculous. Exactly. And it's kind of more enjoyable to watch when they know it's outrageous.
Yes, I completely agree. And I feel like they just had so much fun. Like, you could tell that they were all having fun. I also think Linda Cardellini, or Judy's character, like, she is such... Her role and her character, I feel like, made more sense in season two because she was the one, like, being innocent and kind of, like, being supportive of Jen. And she was the one that something was being hidden from. And I felt like it was much more genuine just to her character versus, right. like, when you were trying to, like, hate her in season one. But I feel like she just, like, got to own her sweet, adorable character.
Seeing her and Steve's back and forth got a little old in the first yeah. season, and it was kind of more fun to just focus on her and Jen's relationship. And once the two of them were kind of both on the same page, it was kind of like, okay, now we're in this together. And that was more fun to watch too, because you got to see more of their dynamic, and yeah. it was more fun seeing them work together. I think
completely I agree. And just like how Jen forgave Judy, and then you thought, like, this is kind of a happy ending, they got to have this whole, like, girl love fest BFF situation for a good amount of episodes.
I hope that we never accidentally murder each other's husbands. But, like, they kind of have a nice little situation going that I was like, oh, that would be fun with a friend.
They're making just it, like, work. Yeah, it really just makes it seem like if you do accidentally murder your husband, make sure you have a friend that you can confide in.
Totally.
You need totally. Backup. One of our mutual best friends, Noelle, texts me about, like, once a month, reminding me to please not call her if I ever accidentally kill someone. She has this, like, fear that I will reach out to her specifically and that it will ruin her mm-hmm. life. So she just likes to remind me every month. I don't plan on ever yeah. doing that, but that's don't good. Call Noelle.
Noelle is not interested in our, you know, friends living together and hiding a body in the garage freezer.
It is so lifestyle. Cute that they become roommates. Like, I just love it. I love their, like, mothering of the boys. It's my favorite part.
Mm-hmm. How even Charlie and Henry get so attached to Judy
yes.
and really fall in love with her.
I agree. And I also love Henry. Henry in the choir. That was such a nice...
Oh, my God.
Just such a... In the religious choir.
I cannot. One of my biggest pet peeves in life, not even pet peeves, but just, like, gives me, like, the heebie-jeebies, is watching children dance. Like, when they're too good. Like, I just, like, doing a hip-hop dance, yeah. I can't. I hate it. And so seeing them do this, like, these, like, wannabe hip-hop moves, but they're singing about Jesus, I was like, good God, I cannot, I can't look directly at this. I just...
And it's just can't. So good because you know that it's also Jen's worst nightmare, and she just, yes. like, is like, of all activities, please, no. And I really, I mean, in the first season, I'm obsessed, and into the second season, I'm obsessed with her mother-in-law. I love their dynamic. Yeah.
She's great.
They kill me. And then also, I really, really love the grief counselor. I love him so much.
And I love that he keeps recurring throughout both seasons.
Oh, yes. And that she goes back to him at the end. And even though she's, like, horrible to him, he is a grief counselor. So he probably gets that a lot.
So what do you think is going to happen? Do we think they're going to get away with it? Or do we think they're going to end up going to prison? What do we think is going
to
happen?
I have to believe that they're somehow going to get away with it. I don't know. I need to know, like, how hurt she's going to be. What's the fallout of the accident going to be? Because that's a whole nother layer. So what could be the situation is, like, he sees the body and then, like, realizes that it's her. Because James Marsden, Ben, he was called at the end to say that they found the body. So I feel like he's somehow going to, like, cover for her because he feels guilty for hitting her with a car, but then, like, not reveal to her that he hit her with the car, and that's going to be a whole, like, I don't know if he's going to get involved in the cover-up, but also be lying to her the whole time, because that's been the running theme.
I'm curious what's going to happen with Perez. Like, is she going to get any blowback for the fact that she was going to let them off, or are people going to know? And, like, Nick, who I also think is a great character.
I love him. Poor guy.
He's been obviously, poor Nick. He's been, you know, investigating this on his own. So is he going to somehow find out that Perez knew and wasn't going to do anything? Like, I feel like there's a lot of balls in the air right now.
Yeah. But Judy gave Nick and Perez that, like, big thing to get the lieutenant.
That's right.
So they're kind of all in cahoots. When Perez at the end, when Judy kept being like, look at us working together, and Perez was like, I sincerely hope I never see you again. And then she leaves and Judy's like, I just really don't know that she meant that. and it's so true to Judy and so true to her.
Yeah. Well, while we wait for season 3, what else are you watching?
So I'm watching Behind Her Eyes because I thought you recommended it to me, but clearly... I haven't seen it.
I did. I just haven't watched it yet, but I will.
What else am I watching? I'm still watching Mad Men. That's a point of contention, as I am a little behind. It's a long show. I also, this is way too much for me to take on because I am watching Mad Men, but I'm on this Nicholas Braun, you know this kick right now. I'm obsessed with him on Instagram. I love him, so I think I have to watch Succession.
I have never heard words more beautiful. I cannot wait for you to watch Succession.
Nothing has done it for me until Nicholas Braun. I started following him on Instagram.
He's so good in it, too. Like, he's so funny. He's, like, this iconic character, Cousin Greg. He's so good in it.
What are you watching?
So I am watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which just came out a few weeks ago, week by week. It's very good. It's very different from WandaVision, but I'm really enjoying it. I also just love Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie. They're just, like, such a good duo.
And my number one girl, Emily Van Camp, isn't it?
Yes, she just made her first appearance in the last episode, and she's great. And I'm going to start Behind Her Eyes as well. And then I took a break from Call My Agent because I was shifting to Dead to Me, but I have been thinking about them all the time, so I think I'm going to hop back in.
Yeah, I have to hop back in.
If we're missing anything that we absolutely have to watch, please let us know.
Yes, constantly needing recommendations.